For the health of it, and it's my pleasure and privilege to introduce to you the team for the evening, led by sales executive Jason Bell. Belang, 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 belang. The bell is ringing.
It's all for me.
That's how the bell, my man, that is how my bell used to ring. Belang, belang, belang. Not bang,
even
bang,
that,
bang.
That bell needs some help. Yeah, a little bit more energy.
I get better at Dr. Basley, know that about that bell. Balang, balang, balang.
That sounds a little bit dysfunctional, to be honest. Anyway, we are speaking about dysfunction here on For the Health of It. I'm Jason Bell, as Ken so eloquently, hilariously introduced me. And on the line with me is the president of the Diabetes Association of Barbados, Miss Trudy Griffith. They're chuckling in the background.
Good evening to everyone.
And, of course, we have clinical director at the BFPA, Dr. Rashida Daisley. Hi, Dr. Rashida.
Hi, good evening, everybody.
It is a good evening indeed. A good evening to speak about a serious subject, but usually we have to add our own twist to it because we are living and loving for the health of it. We're speaking about the lovely ladies this evening, Ken.
Oh, so good Lord. Let me turn on four more microphones. I turn it on four more microphones.
Oh, yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. So we want to make sure that all of Barbados listens to this important subject. Last week, we spoke about sexual dysfunction. This week, the children can listen in because we're talking about female gynecological conditions, specifically PCOS, endo, and fibroids. We'll explain those terms as we go forward, but Miss Trudy, please take it away.
Okay, so thank you, Jason. So as Jason just said, we had been talking about sexual dysfunction for the last couple of weeks, and I thought that it would be important for us to continue talking to the females among us, as well as to their partners, because if you're in a relationship, not only do you need to know how your body works, but your partner also needs to know just as much so that you continue to thrive in the relationship. So this evening, we're actually looking at three conditions. We'll try as best as we can, bearing in mind that we have 45 minutes and Ken is on the line. So let's get right into it. So let's start with polycystic ovarian syndrome. It's also abbreviated as PCOS. So Dr. Daisy is on the line with us. So Dr. Daisy, can you give us some idea what PCOS is?
Okay, sure. So as you said, PCOS is an acronym. It stands for polycystic ovarian, or some persons say ovary syndrome. So I can break them down in terms of what those actual words mean, and then we can really get into it. So poly means cystic is just like a collection of fluid. Ovary is obviously the female reproductive organ. Syndrome is what in medical jargon refers to a collection of symptoms. So in polycystic ovarian syndrome, or PCOS, it's a disorder of both the reproductive, hormonal, and also metabolism as well. So all these different aspects are irregular. So what happens is that the levels of the hormones are a bit higher than they should have. And that prevents the lady from ovulating, and it causes a different set of symptoms. For example, they might have signs of elevated androgens, male hormones. For example, they may have upper lip hair. They might notice gaining quite a bit of weight or having difficulty losing weight. And the most common symptom is irregular periods that normally presents as when the ladies miss their periods for a prolonged period of time.
Okay. So, you wanted to continue?
No, you go ahead.
Okay, so what I wanted to say, because, we do use a bit of humor here on the program. I'm not saying that women are like a carb, so just bear with me a moment, ladies out there. So you buy a car and it's new, and therefore you can go quite some time without having to worry about what is going on with the car because the engine is supposed to be working and everything else is supposed to be working. But we know that we're supposed to service the car on a regular basis, and if we don't do that, yes, the car may continue going along, but over time, the parts start to wear out and so on. So if we compare that to our bodies can take quite a bit of abuse. But after a point in time, our bodies will say, I can't continue taking this anymore. and things will start to go wrong because our bodies are so physiologically balanced that it can stand quite a bit of abuse before things really start to go wrong. So therefore, I want women out there to start thinking, I may not have really taken care of myself for a little bit of time, but I need to get back in line and start doing the things that I need to be doing.
Okay.
So for you ladies out there, you may have relatives like your mom or your aunt or your sister who might have diabetes. And you're probably saying, but I'm doing everything right. Nothing is going to happen to me. But you may very well have polycystic ovarian syndrome. And there is a relationship to diabetes. So, Dr. Daisy, can you share that with us? What's the link between PCOS and diabetes?
Okay. So, first of all, PCOS is actually a factor for diabetes, which means it increases your chance of having diabetes later in life. The reason for that is one of the underlying causes of PCOS is actually what we call insulin resistance. So insulin is the hormone that regulates your blood sugar. You will hear that hormone spoken a lot when persons are speaking about diabetes, and it really is also a bit disordered in PCOS as well. So when the insulin is what we call resistant, when I explain it to patients, I like to say, for example, you wake up on a Monday morning, you're feeling quite sluggish, you really don't want to go to work. And if you go to work and you have to do a particular task, for example, laying bricks, it might take a lot more persons to lay that those a particular number of bricks in a certain set of time. And that's what basically happens with the insulin. The insulin is sluggish, it doesn't want to go to work. So to really get your blood sugars under control, a lot more insulin has to be released at a particular time. And because of this constant elevated levels of insulin, that drives a lot of the other symptoms of PCOS. And as a result, it can increase your risk for diabetes later.
Hello?
I'm here.
Oh, okay.
I thought I put you guys to bed. I guess this conversation today is not as fun for the guys.
I was actually going to ask Ken if he understood everything that you just said.
So, Ken, do you?
Sorry?
Do you understand everything I just said? Or
no, I am doing some other official work in the studio while I listen to you at half an ear.
Okay, I will tell you.
What is that big word? Another big word?
Multitasking.
Oh, good Lord. The last time I tried to multitask, I stumped my toe.
Oh, dear.
And when I was trying to recover from that, I cut my finger. So I'm done with that.
Okay.
Take a call before I multitask anymore now. Here we go. Good evening.
Thank you for calling for the health of it, caller. How are you doing today?
We missed that call, Jason. That person
okay, we
want
to encourage your callers to call back in, 434-1790. And WhatsApp, 266-IVOB for the health of it, 266-4862. If you're WhatsApping us from out of the country, please add the area code 1246. This is a very heavy topic, ladies, and I'm loath to jump in except to ask most pertinent questions. Is this something that you have a predisposition for? Is this something that you can cause yourself because of your own habits? It's similarly to how diabetes type 2 can be caused by your own habits.
Well, it's kind of like a chicken and the egg in some cases. There is a genetic predisposition. So a lot of the time you would find that ladies who perhaps their mother or their sisters have PCOS, they're at increased risk for it. But there is an element of your diet that is still a bit involved there. So sometimes if your eating habits are a bit off, particularly if you have very high sugar diet, I think last week we would have spoken about the high glycemic foods. We spoke about that last week, I think.
Yeah, we. I took some
mangoes. Mangoes.
Remember about that?
Hey, how can I forget that?
The mangoes.
Right? I said I had a mango. Just have to put that out there.
Fair enough.
Right. So with those foods, you also would over time cause insulin resistance.
May I please interject that I went on my 3 mango trees and reaped some mangoes,
and that
I remember you all. And I said, well, why am I remembering Trudy Jason and this doctor lady when I have these lovely mangoes in hand?
It's not our intention to kill you or anyone
I
else.
I just want to say, we have done what we set out to do. We are causing persons to think about what they're doing.
Mission accomplished.
And Right. Mission accomplished.
And this is a testimony here. Usually, you know, I'm having a cup of coffee that Starcom provided for me. That's about the only thing I get here. People like Jason, they get sandwiches and them sort of things. You know, ham sandwiches and turkey sandwiches and whatever they want. Anyhow, I went and I got a cup of coffee. And normally I would just dump some sugar in the bloody thing. But I went for the small little teaspoon, I think they call it that, a teaspoon.
Yes.
And I had a level amount or level portion of sugar in
Trudy, he's coming down.
Okay. Jason?
Sir?
Coming down is not a manly term, please.
I remember at the beginning of this series, you used to use 2 tablespoons, and now you're using one.
One tablespoon.
That's very good.
Well done.
Okay.
Well played, sir.
Because it is one thing to be sweet, but it's another thing to be sweet. Take that.
That's actually a pretty good line. Let's get back on track before Ken takes us all the way down to I Don't Know Where.
Go ahead, everybody.
In terms of our young females out there, how many persons do you think are affected? So let's say we take a number out of 100. How many of our young women out there do you think might possibly have PCOS?
So that would be about 10 persons. So in some studies, they show that it's up to 10% in certain populations. So it's into 1 in 10 persons might have PCOS.
Wow. May I ask,
so I don't think
how many of them are
about the
diagnosed
symptoms
PCOS
that their needs might have. So I spoke a bit about the missed periods, but they might notice that they might be gaining weight. I also said about the abnormal facial hair. Some nice persons might have skin conditions like acne, things like that.
Yeah.
Is hirsutism a symptom of PCOS as well?
Right. So hirsutism is what I mean by the abnormal hair growth. So the upper lip, on the chin, and sometimes on the chest as well.
Right. Okay.
Jason, it sounds like you probably have seen one or two persons who might have this type of facial hair pattern.
I might have, yes.
You know, the challenge with those of us who work in the healthcare field, right, is that when you start to learn about all of the conditions and the signs, which is what persons present with, how they look, you start to see persons with disease and they possibly don't even know. But because of what you know, you're starting to see things that other people don't see. It is so disturbing for some of us because it's like sometimes you just wanted some downtime. You want some time when you're just away from work and your mind is free. And yet you're walking around and you're saying, does that person know that something is wrong with them?
Yeah.
You really can't turn off, can you?
No, it's not easy to turn off at all.
They're very true, very true.
But Rashida, there is hope, isn't there?
In terms of managing PCOS?
Yes.
Yes, you said, sorry, I didn't hear you properly.
Yeah, there is hope, isn't there?
Yes,
it's not
as
though that once you've been diagnosed, that's it. There's no U-turn in sight. You can change the situation around.
So you can definitely manage PCOS. In terms of managing it, it's both physician implemented, but a lot of it is actually based on the patient. So a lot of the management for PCOS is going to be based on lifestyle changes. So I would have spoken before about your diet. So you really have to make sure that you get your diet under control. And physicians really do encourage patients to lose weight. Sometimes it can be a bit disheartening because, as I said, persons with PCOS, they struggle with their weight a lot of the time. So if the doctor really doesn't sit down and really explain to them and goes through with them some practical ways of how they can achieve this, letting them go away on their own without any guidance can actually be a lot more difficult and frustrating for the patient. There are some medications that the doctor might also prescribe to help them manage their symptoms. For example, first of all, we need to find out what their goal is in terms of pregnancy. Obviously, if the person wants to get pregnant, that would be our foremost goal, and there are some medications that we can help assist in that endeavor. If they're not looking to get pregnant immediately, we can help to regulate the menstruation by recommending an oral contraceptive pill that allows them to have a bleed at least monthly and prevents the lining from building up, because that's what happens when they're not ovulating. The lining continues to build up as they're not having a period. Additionally, I would have spoken about insulin resistance within PCOS. So some physicians will also offer metformin. So I'm not sure if you guys would have touched on metformin as yet.
No, we haven't.
So, right, so metformin is actually a diabetic drug, and it increases the sensitivity of the insulin. So, as I would have said earlier, because insulin resistance plays a big factor in PCOS, having metformin on board can really help in that endeavor, and it can also regulate the cycle, and it can assist in some weight loss. It's not a weight loss drug, but it can help at least a small amount in the initial stages.
I get the impression that insulin is the key factor I don't want to say the culprit.
You can't mention diabetes without mentioning insulin. I think that's what you're trying to say exactly.
Yeah.
So a lot of persons get really scared when they hear about insulin, but I want persons to truly appreciate that insulin is something your body makes.
Yes.
But it has to be balanced along with all the other hormones that Dr. Rashida talked about. So therefore, when your hormones are out of balance, things can go wrong. And we're not blaming you as the person. We're saying something has gone wrong. Let us find out what has gone wrong. And let us do what we can do to make sure you have a better quality of life.
I agree.
Absolutely. You're listening to For the Health of It, in association with the Diabetes Association of Barbados. The last voice you just heard was President of the Diabetes Association of Barbados, Ms. Trudy Griffith. Also on the call is clinical, or is it medical, director, the good doctor, Dr. Rashida.
Trudy?
On the call, as, of course, Ken Husband's in studio with me on the phone.
Trudy?
Yes, Ken?
Where is he got? He's just stumbling and stammering and forgetting. What is he suffering from?
I think it's a matter that Jason said it at the very beginning. This is a very serious episode.
So he's overwhelmed.
He's a tad bit overwhelmed.
I am.
Just a tad.
Just a little. But I'm happy for our teammates such as you all to help me up when I'm down and to help us all rise when we fall. So, Ken, do we have any WhatsApps?
Not at the moment, my friend. People are listening with rapt attention.
Rapt attention as we go down.
Obviously, they are.
They're not going to interrupt one thing. They'll just sit and listen because this is a very sensitive and regular sort of situation here. Sensitive and regular that we are dealing with. A lot of ladies suffer from fibroids, and a lot of ladies, I heard the doctor mention the ovarian tube problem and all these little things that ladies are blessed with. And I'm glad, you know, if I had to come back 100 times, I don't ever want to be a lady.
Oh, wow.
If I had a shirt.
I'm not sure how to take that.
If I had the assurance that I'm coming back 100 times, Brute, I don't want to try being a lady one of them. You understand me?
Oh, my goodness.
The only thing I don't like about being a man, to be honest, is having to shave every morning. That's the only thing I don't like, having to
Our
shave.
Our challenges are different than the ladies, that's for sure.
Our biggest challenge is the lady. Go ahead, Judy.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to deal with you.
It is coming. So while we have talked about PCOS for a little while now, we do have some other topics that we do want to discuss and we want to capture this evening. So let's move on to fibroids.
Sure.
Because this is another condition that a number of women across Barbados and indeed across the world that they suffer from using Ken's terminology. So therefore, Dr. Rashida, please explain to us what fibroids are and what women will experience if they have fibroids.
Okay, so fibroids basically are growths that occur in the womb or the uterus. And we like to reiterate that are non-cancerous because, you know, a lot of times when persons hear any growth within their body, that's the first thing that comes to their mind. But we like to reiterate that they are non-cancerous. And they're actually one of the most common disorders of the female reproductive system. And, you know, earlier I would have said that for PCOS is about 10%. But in fibroids, it can go up to 50, up to 70% in some populations. I didn't hear that.
I said, oh my goodness.
Yes, yes. And unfortunately for us, there is a genetic predisposition, and it really occurs most commonly in ladies of Black ethnicity. And not only most commonly, but we seem to have more severe types. So we sometimes get the fibroids a lot younger, and our fibroids tend to grow a lot faster than other ethnicities as well. So some of the signs that you would notice if you have fibroids are things that should clue you in is if you're noticing an abrupt change in your menstruation. So, for example, if your menstrual cycle is getting a lot heavier, you're noticing you have to use a lot more pads, or even if it's lasting a longer number of days. So, for example, if your period normally lasts 5 days, or some lucky ladies last 3 days, now it's lasting 8 days, that's a clue that perhaps this might be something that's happening here. And it's not like you have it only maybe 1 month, but if you're noticing a consistent change. Additionally, you would notice that your periods might become a lot more painful as well. If the fibroids are large enough, they might cause pain in the back and so on as well.
Can I understand your point now?
You understand my point now?
Yeah.
Good. Jason, are you with us too, please? And you taking notes?
Copious notes, Ken.
Copious notes. Good boy.
I wanted to make a point that it's alleged that in the Bible, the woman with the issue of blood, that is alleged by some commentators.
She had fibroids, boy.
That she had fibroids.
She had fibroids. Yes.
As the biblical tale explained, Luke described how much of a debilitating condition it can be, and that only Dr. Jesus was able to help. But thankfully, we have good doctors like Dr. Rashida that can at least point us in the right direction.
Right.
What is an effective treatment for fibroids, ladies? I mean, Dr. Rashida.
So first, I think we need to find out how they're actually diagnosed. So if you're having any of the symptoms that I would have just mentioned, you'd have to go to your doctor. So speak to your doctor about the symptoms you're experiencing. They will do an examination. They may also do a pelvic examination to assess the size of your womb, see if it feels bulky. And they're more than likely going to order a pelvic ultrasound to assess the fibroids. So they're going to look and see how many fibroids you have, obviously the size of them and the location of the fibroids as well. So in terms of the treatment can be divided into either medical treatment, which means that we're just going to treat it conservatively and perhaps medications to help you with your symptoms. And there's also surgical management as well, which means obviously that you're using surgery. So in terms of the medical management, we can give you some medications to assist with the pain as well as the bleeding. To either reduce the amount of bleeding you're having, or some ladies can actually bleed for a very long time, like up to weeks, and they might have to be given medication to actually stop the bleeding. In terms of surgery, there are different options that you can have there as well, but that would have to be discussed with the gynecologist and really to tailor any management really to your specific case.
Dr. Rashida.
Yes.
Jason wants me to ask you. He's too ashamed, too afraid to ask. So he wants me to ask you, how does this bloody condition, no pun intended, affect sexual activity?
Okay, so it can in some ways. Obviously, the bleeding obviously can be a bit of a hassle in that way. But additionally, sometimes the fibroids may lead to pain during intercourse as well. So that can be a lot painful, a lot distressing for the young lady. Additionally, sometimes it can affect fertility also.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes you look at a lady, you think she's pregnant, and then she explains that she has fibroids.
Yes.
You know, it is... No. My heart goes out for these you gals, because you have so many different health problems, and you have so... And yet still you're so miserable. You know...
So wait. Can I have a question?
But I
would... So you see a young lady, and you just ask her if she's pregnant?
No.
Okay.
I mean, this is like Trudy and I, we know each other well, and you say you haven't seen Trudy.
Oh,
you haven't seen Trudy for the last 3 months. You haven't seen Trudy for the last 3 months. You say, Trudy, am I going to get to be a godfather? You say it nicely, you know? And then she whispers, I have fibroids. You know? And you know,
is it before or after she slaps you?
Exactly. Probably after.
No, it's my next question that again. And it's my next suggestion that she may slap me, you know what I mean? But Dr. Rashida, this program promotes the laughter and the happiness of all persons. We believe I think it's a hormone called endorphins. I think it's a hormone. And the more that you have, the better off you are. And the Bible tells us that laughter is like good medicine. So I keep people around me happy, even though I am not happy. Even though I may not be happy, I seek to keep those around me happy. That's why I confuse people like Jason Bell. It's always always trying to. He always keeps close to me to make sure that I put a smile on his face. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Good girl.
Mm.
Now back to you all and your discussion. Go ahead, please.
Okay, so Dr. Rashida, you talked about the bleeding, the excessive bleeding, particularly the longer duration of period or the actual flow per day. So are women at risk of having or developing anemia because of the bleeding?
Yes, definitely. So sometimes that happens quite a bit if the young lady is bleeding and she hasn't sought medical attention. Because as I said, sometimes they can continue bleeding for weeks and they might be using a lot of pads, so losing a lot of blood per day. So for example, for us ladies, we know that our period might last heavy for the first 2 or 3 days and then it just trickles out and it ends within 5 days. But imagine bleeding for 3 weeks for that flow that you're having for those 3 days. So continuously like that, obviously you're going to be losing blood a lot more than you're able to build it up, and it can cause ladies to be anemic. So signs of that would be if you're feeling very tired, if you're having very frequent headaches, feeling lightheaded, things like that.
Mm. And I presume high carb meals would not be the solution to perking you back up, so to speak.
If you're anemic?
Yes.
No, you might get a burst of energy within that hour, but it's not going to assist at all. So you would definitely need foods that are higher in protein and higher in iron.
Lots of spinach, Jason. Lots of spinach.
Yes, like Popeye.
Mm-hmm. Lots of spinach, man. And you don't have to pop the eye. You just,
My fundamental problem with spinach, right, is that you start with a big old bushel in the pan.
Yes.
And by the time you turn around, you wonder I have
any. Yes, that is true.
That always happens.
But
Jason, you just brought up a very interesting point, that persons, when they feel tired, and this is not limited to the women out there, but when they're feeling tired, that they may think, I just need something to give me energy.
Yep.
You really and truly need to get to the root cause of why you're feeling tired.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And
you may actually cause another problem in trying to treat the tiredness by actually causing diabetes.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been my experience, ladies and gentlemen and listeners, that these gynecological conditions tend to run in threes. And we'll address the third one in a minute, I presume, obviously 15 minutes or so that we have remaining, that they tend to run together. So if you are feeling tired because you're anemic and you take a big old set of sugary foods or snacks, and then that raises your insulin, which causes your PCOS to flare up or get worse, and then it could be a bit of a crazy cycle when it comes to trying to treat your body inappropriately with snacks as opposed to healthy nutrition.
Dr. Rashida and Trudy, pray tell, how does, or rather, how is a partner expected to respond in order to help his lady who's going through all of these feminine vicissitudes? Either
one of you. Feminine vicissitudes?
What?
Did you just say feminine vicissitudes?
You can tell me what is it.
I just asked, you said what you said, sir.
Yeah, I said so.
You can just say, well, my problem.
No. They're not just women problems, man. The number of things the number of issues that Trudy and Dr. Rashida have enumerated this evening, then women just, those are vicissitudes. Those are complexities. I mean, the lady by herself is a complexity or a vicissitude. Much less when you break her down and get all these fibroids and this and that and that. You see what, so as to cover things, Dr. Rashida used a lot of big words here this evening. She didn't want things to look so bad. She didn't want it to look as bad as it is. And to make matters worse, Gregson has just joined us in the studio.
Good night, Grace. But we want to continue our discussion here for the health of it. Trudy, I'm going to let you take the lead in this last point here. In this last point here, and of course, listeners, you can chime in at any point. But endometriosis.
Right.
Endometriosis.
No, Dr. Rashida has a particular interest in endometriosis, so I'll let her take the lead on this. But I'm going to address Ken's question at the end of it all.
Okay,
so Ken,
sure.
I'm not going to forget you.
Well, thank you very much.
Okay, so endometriosis, I'll try to break it down. Actually, what I'm going to do, Trudy, how I like to sometimes explain it, especially to gentlemen, is how you started in terms of using a car analogy. So I'll first start by just explaining it in medical terms. So in the inner aspect of a womb or the uterus is a lining called the endometrium. And that's what basically sheds every month when the lady is having her menstrual period. So just like endometrial tissue is coming out. So an endometriosis is where tissue that's very similar to that lining becomes implanted on areas where it shouldn't be. So as I said, it should be within that cavity, but sometimes it implants on areas, for example, it can be on the same ovaries that we just mentioned, on the fallopian tube, which is, attaches to the uterus. They can also be on places like your bladder, on your bowel, and in some very rare cases, it can even go and be on the lungs. And what happens is that obviously this tissue is still responding to the hormones, much like the tissue that's actually within the lining of the uterus. And because of that, you get very cyclical pain. And sometimes you can even have chronic pelvic pain outside of your period because the implantations are causing so much inflammation. So I hope I explained that.
Right.
But I asked my father once to assist me with this. So I'm not even sure if I'm remembering or recalling it correctly. But think of it as if you have your engine and you have your coolant that's supposed to be wherever the coolant is supposed to be.
In the radiator.
It's supposed to be in the radiator. But if the coolant gets out the radiator and it goes and it gets, for example, where the gas tank is supposed to be, obviously it's not supposed to be that way, that place. So it's going to cause lots of problems when it's basically in the wrong place. So I think, I hope I did my father justice.
And you're very honest. You're speaking from experience. She put the water in the gas tank. Trudy, help us here, Trudy. I'm forgetting my Latin. That word cyst, I think that's the Latin word for inflammation or infection. Is that right?
It's a bubble filled. Well, it's almost like a bubble.
Fluid
filled up. And it's filled with fluid.
Right,
yes.
Right. Okay. I just want to be sure
cyst, that's what cyst means.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Right, Gregson's mic is on. Good evening, Gregson. Good evening, Gregson. Your mic is on. He is saying a word. Go ahead.
He's listening with rapt attention, just as Barbados is.
Exactly, Jason. Exactly. So, Dr. Rashida, it certainly sounds as though we would not wish too many women to be going through this condition called endometriosis. So how many women would normally be affected, or what are our statistics to date?
So obviously there's it's more of a spectrum rather than very definitive in terms of the symptoms. So persons can have very mild symptoms of endometriosis and can go up to very severe stages of endometriosis. But the statistics are very similar actually to PCOS in terms of approximately 10%. So it's very similar in that regard. But as I said, the symptoms vary. But in terms of the symptoms that the patients would have, as I said, they would have they might have very painful periods. So during a normal menstrual period, the pain that you're having is not really supposed to keep you from your normal activities. So if you normally go to school, you should still be able to go to school and do your schoolwork. If you normally go to work, you should still be able to do that. But if the pain is so much that you're not able to do any of your normal activities, if you're basically have to stay in bed and you have to take a lot very strong medications, it's not responding to your normal over-the-counter medication, that's a sign that the pain is not normal and you need to see your physician to really find out what's happening there.
As ever, when it comes to gynecological issues, there's a mental health aspect.
Yes.
I get the impression that a lot of women, and I say that in response to your last point, Dr. Rashida, that they figure that this pain is just a rite of passage, or God forbid they've reached out to a health practitioner or some expert or someone who claims to be an expert, and they say, man, that's all in your head.
Mm-hmm.
I've read some horror stories when it comes to diagnosis and of the endo in particular, and these endo warriors, as they are called on our social media, and I consider them to be endo warriors indeed.
Definitely.
Had to take a long journey in order to be even diagnosed, far less treated effectively. And the impression I get also is that endometriosis is not something that you can cure. I mean, you can effectively treat fibroids. You can take steps to manage PCOS. But endometriosis seems to be a completely different animal altogether.
Yes, so you hit quite a few points there that I want to touch on. The first one is in terms of the stories. So this is a bit of a plug, but as Trudy would have said, both endo and PCOS are close to my heart. And I'm actually the vice president of an organization called the Barbados Association of Endometriosis and Polycystic Ovarian Syndrome. And even before I came on board, these lovely ladies had actually developed a book that really chronicles the stories of ladies with menstrual health disorders, including both endo, as well as PCOS. And if you read these stories, you would really, really understand the different aspects that these ladies have to go through. The first one that I really want to touch on is what you said, the delay in diagnosis. So many cases, the delay in the actual diagnosis is quite long, and that really prevents them from getting adequate treatment. And sometimes the reason for that is the only definitive diagnosis for endometriosis is to do a laparoscopy, which is what we call a small cut surgery. So the surgeon would make a small incision maybe around your belly button area, place a camera there so they can look inside and look to see where the actual endometriosis implants are within the womb. So obviously that's quite invasive versus like your normal ultrasound. So sometimes that can really delay diagnosis and treatment. But you really touch also there on the mental health aspect. As I said, these ladies really have very, very severe pain that affects their quality of life. And sometimes this pain is not only restricted to just the menstrual cycle, but it occurs also outside of that. And it can really, really affect their productivity even outside of their period.
It is. I have a few endo warriors on my timeline, and by timeline, me social media. And my heart really does go out to them. And I know Trudy will deal with this as a man, you know. But for those who love these lovely ladies, these endo warriors, I know that Trudy will effectively deal with it. But I want to gather, Trudy and Dr. Rashida, that diabetes is indeed linked to these conditions, or blood sugar or insulin is linked to these conditions?
For endometriosis?
Yes.
Not per se. The pathophysiology of the two are not really linked in that way.
Okay, thank goodness. Okay. I mean, if there is one thing that we want to make sure that I don't want to sound bad. It's just that, you know, you have enough burdens to carry already for having to wonder about how what you're taking orally, what you're eating, is affecting your endo condition. So I was just curious to find out.
Well, Jason, just to piggyback on that, there is a definitive link between polycystic ovarian syndrome, insulin resistance, and diabetes.
Okay.
We know.
All right.
There is not a direct link between diabetes and fibroids or endometriosis. But the reason why I've included the two of them in our discussion this evening is that you can have women out there who are living with diabetes, and they also have to deal with fibroids or endometriosis.
Yeah.
My gosh, man. It's like the four horsemen of the apocalypse when it comes to your body. Because you've got diabetes, which is an internal condition, PCOS, which is a manifestation of that internal condition, fibroids too, and endometriosis possibly. My goodness.
Yeah, don't forget, as I said, especially for things like fibroids, which I said are more common in Black population, we also know diabetes is also more common in the Black population as well.
Right.
So by virtue, they are more likely to go out to happen simultaneously.
Well, Trudy, do you think this is a good time as any for us as we approach the end of the program to discuss how we can be of assistance as men, because we don't like to see our ladies suffering like this, sometimes even suffering in silence.
Well,
my first advice is next time, do not pick the fruit.
Oh, you went way back.
That's not really useful. You crossed that bridge already.
Ken, I don't know how many men out there are going to follow your advice, and I'm not going to estimate anything less than zero.
Thank you.
So in terms of, I think one of the things that I do want to emphasize here is communication. And that's one of the challenges that many of us have across our spectrum of relationships. But communication is going to be very key in the relationship with your partner, because you need to know what is going on with them, and they need to be able to be honest with you and share with you what is going on with them, and how you need to support them in what is going on with their bodies, because this is something over which you might not have immediate control, because you might not even know what is wrong at the time. You still have to wait for the diagnosis. You still have to wait for the treatment to be offered. You still have to allow time for the treatment to work if there is an effective treatment out there. And in all of that, you need to support your partner. You need to be there for them and with them. And even if there's difficulty in the sexual area of your life in terms of sexual intimacy, there's still other ways that you can show affection for your partner. Let them know that you're there for them, that you want to support them.
Exactly.
Rashida, is there anything that I have missed in that? Because I think that is so key.
No, I think you touched on everything.
Can we have 2 minutes, please? 2 minutes, exactly 2 minutes.
All right. And it's on that note that I wish to properly thank Dr. Rashida Daisley, Clinical Director at the BFPA, as well as our esteemed host and President Extraordinaire, Ms. Trudy Griffith of the Diabetes Association of Barbados, for bringing For the Health of It to the nation, speaking about PCOS, fibroids, and endometriosis. We invite you to get in contact with the Diabetes Association of Barbados. Call this number, 427-9338. Call 230-2975. Email dab40alpha@gmail.com. Check them out on the web, diabetes.bb, and follow them on their excellent social media at Diabetes Barbados. With the minute left, we want to let you know that the office is open, and it opens tomorrow, 17th of June. Bearing in mind all the physical distancing requirements, check them out on their social media for more details. And we invite you, as always, to keep living and loving for the health of it.
Jason, we have 30 seconds to go. Let's give that.
I will give that. maybe.
No, I wanted to give Betty the good doctor so she can tell her patients how they can contact her. Go ahead, ma'am.
Sure. So you can contact me at BFPA's our office. Our number is 426-2027. For those of you who are on social media, on Facebook, we are there at Barbados Family Planning Association. On Instagram, BFPA Online. And additionally, for those who want more information about endometriosis or PCOS, you can contact our charity online on Instagram and Aviv, Endo and PCOS BB, and on Facebook, it will be Barbados Association of Endometriosis and PCOS. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Judy. Thank you, Jason.
Thank you. Have a good night.